Rodney
Dangerfield's tie?
Yeah, Pete Davidson gave me that. That's sick. I think his podcast. It's like actually his. There's like a certificate.
What a specific thing.
Yeah, well, he thinks I do do an impression of Rodney Dangerfield. That's probably better.
Did you come in your fiance?
Like, when were we talking about? What timeline?
I still have my house in LA. I'm going there Tuesday.
Okay, so you just do both?
I do both. I do like winter in LA and then the other.
That's fucking awesome. Year.
Yeah, I try to.
That's like some shit that like,
what the fuck I'm doing.
Like 20 years ago, it was only like CEOs that were like, I winter in LA.
Oh, no, my just, LA place is cheap.
Yeah?
My mortgage is $2,900 a month.
That's fucking not bad at all.
Yeah.
How long have you been in that place?
10 years, 11 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you like being out there at all? I've never...
Yeah, it feels like when you come in your fiance.
Yeah. I got that.
I'm just joking. That's fucking a horrendous thing to say to an adult.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely don't like it. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the show. We got a good one with Eric Andre, who was very fun to hang out with once he stopped goading me. Have fun watching this episode, though. Eric Andre is the fucking man. Check him out. But also, I'm on the road this Saturday. Got a late show at the Paramount in Huntington, New York. We added a 9:30 show, dansoder.com, for those tickets. And then Charlotte, North Carolina. I will see you April 10th. And then Durham, North Carolina. I'm going to see you the 11th. Also coming up, we've got Munhall, Pennsylvania. They tried to call that Pittsburgh. We got Cleveland, Ohio. We got Columbus, Ohio. And we got Grand Falls Casino in Larchwood, Iowa. Those are the remaining dates on the Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour. The tickets are now at dansoder.com. And also the podcast is right now. Thank you for watching. This is a good exercise for me because you're one of the guys that's comfortable being naked. Yeah. And I would say that is probably...
You are too.
No, I'm not.
That's not true.
That's... How do you know?
Would you shower with your clothes on?
Yes.
Every day. You're a never nude?
I wore this in the shower. I'm a never nude. You never... It didn't take a thing to get you free, the being naked all the time, or you just grew up being like...
I grew up being naked.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I feel like there was something.
My friends, you know, like.
Would you just get naked around?
You're like, you're the comedy of your friend group, and then just one of you decides to do it professionally.
But yours was getting naked. Mine was eating stuff for money.
Like cigarette butts?
Those are the two paths.
Yeah,
in the
I mean, my friends got naked too.
They see, my friends never got naked.
Yeah. It was like a joke. Did it was you like just an get naked? Joke. When at I shows and stuff, you know, you Red Hot Chili Peppers were putting their socks on their cocks, and you're going to punk shows, and people are getting naked at the show as a bit.
Yeah, when I bumped into that, it was way too late, and I was like, "Yo, why the fuck is your dick?"
Are you doing it now?
No.
Oh well, you bumped into that. What do you mean
when? Like
you
when into I that? Started hanging, when that was a joke with a certain group, you'd be like, "Oh fuck,
you were too."
I was already too buttoned up. I was already too like, why the fuck are you getting naked?
You're like a diehard Nuggets fan. You have like obscure Nuggets players from the 90s.
Yeah, I'm from Denver, so I like the Nuggets.
But you root for the Giants?
My family's from the Bay Area. I'm all over the place.
You're a fucking complex man.
I got layers.
I couldn't tell you a single one of these guys. Who was on the Nuggets? Dikembe Mutombo?
Yeah, hell yeah. See, you did it.
That's the only one from that era that I know.
Yeah, no one did, though. They weren't that good, so no one cared.
I saw them beat my Heat. I was at that game.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a fun... I never thought we would ever win a championship.
No, it's awesome.
That's why, because no one cares. But yeah, I can name you Heat players.
Harold Miner. Yeah. Harold Miner. Ronnie Cicely.
Well, you guys took Tim Hardaway. That's what stopped me from being a Warriors fan.
Tim Hardaway.
Because I was a Warriors fan, because my
dad... Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah, dude. Alonzo and that famous gif of him shrugging on the sidelines and then being like, you've seen that one where he's like,
I don't know. No, oh, where he.
You've never seen that one?
Well, he's got a dialysis machine, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that's the fucking gif I'm talking about. I don't think there's a dialysis gif of fucking Alonzo Mourning. I'm talking about him sitting on the bench and accepting that they're losing. What kind of fucking psycho goes, yeah, your favorite player? You remember him in the hospital? That favorite, that famous gif of him? What the fuck are you talking about? Fuck, get out of here. Act like that naked shit's normal. Fuck you. fucking weirdos showing your dicks to each other and acting like I'm the abnormal one. Fucking knock you out.
We were getting in trouble. We were getting in trouble.
We were doing the bunk shows
and getting in trouble in Florida, in like warehouses in Florida.
Florida, I could see. But that's crazy because people go to Florida to be naked.
Oh, yeah, you think so?
There's like a lot of fucking swingers.
You're more naked than you think.
I hope so. I would fucking hope so.
You got kids?
No.
They're naked.
No, I said I don't have them, but yeah, kids
are. You will have them.
No, I'm not. I'm not doing it.
You're doing it. You'd be a good dad.
People say that. People say that as the way to win.
You have dad energy.
It's because I didn't have one. I had to be my own. That's why.
Where's your dad?
Dead. Been in the ground.
When did he pass?
14.
That sucks.
It's not cool. It's not fucking.
How'd he die?
Cirrhosis.
He was a drinker.
No one goes cirrhosis, and he goes, nah, man, just in the sun too much. Dude, fucking his whole liver kicked. I don't want
to
have kids.
That's a tough way to go.
Do you want kids?
No, I'm getting a vasectomy.
Me too.
But you told her that?
Yeah.
She's got to be bummed.
No. We had a conversation. We had a conversation about having kids, and we were like, we're not doing it. And so then fucking...
But a part of her once.
No. We've had long conversations.
Long talks.
Yeah, we have aunt and uncle energy. I'm a great uncle.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. I don't want to fuck somebody up.
It seems like a lot. Yeah, I don't want to fuck somebody up.
I also don't...
And then they resent you. And
I don't want to bring a kid
break up
in.
With their mom, and then you're like, fuck, I tried. Like, I'm sorry.
That's exactly it.
Yeah,
like, I told...
I tried.
Honestly, the conversation was...
Like, I don't want that pressure. I have enough anxiety. I could imagine adding more anxiety to the current load.
And some people will call you selfish, but then you go, no. I know...
I'm being selfish if I have the kid.
That's what I think. And I also think...
I can adopt when I'm 90.
Exactly. Also, if you go be successful... And you do want to have kids and you adopt a kid, you take a kid from 0 to 60. That kid has a way better life. They has fucking financial stability.
Yeah, they're fucking Annie. You're Daddy Warbucks.
Exactly. You guys would be Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah.
We had a conversation where it was like, I'm going to stay on the road the rest of my career because I do stand up. There's not going to be. So
you don't know. That AI is going to replace your job. They're going to have AI stand ups.
They are. I mean, they're already doing
it. No.
They're already doing it.
They don't have AI stand-up, do they?
Yeah, they did. They did
George Carlin.
And the Tom Brady. But that was both dudesy. That was like Will Sasso being funny, and people got mad about it.
I don't know. What do you mean?
It was Will Sasso's podcast, Dudesy, that did
Dudesy? Why do you keep saying Dudesy? That's the name of his podcast?
Yeah. It's the name of their podcast was Dudesy, and he did a George Carlin and a Tom Brady special, 60-minute AI special.
I heard the George Carlin one.
They did it also with Tom Brady, and people thought Tom Brady did a real special.
Yeah, but you can't go on the road and be live.
No.
With AI.
Yeah, so that's why.
You're going to road dog it.
Well, yeah, I'd like doing stand-up, and you got to stay on the road.
Where are you going next?
Orlando, Florida.
Where are you playing?
The Plaza Theater.
Nice.
Maybe. I did the improv there and fucking bombed.
Oh, so no.
It was a tough weekend.
You got to come on my podcast. I got a bombing podcast.
Did you used to talk about bombing?
Yeah, that's it.
Did you bomb still? You don't bomb still.
I bombed like the other day at New York Comedy Club.
Doing what? Naked?
I was butt naked. Jerking off.
Were
into
you
the audience.
Fucking butt ass naked? That might be a problem.
I came into the crowd.
Yeah, that's crowd work. That's the crowd work I want to see. Is them working.
Shooting you fucking wax darts into the fucking crowd.
You fucking hitting pop flies to the audience. What's the worst bomb you ever had?
I think the other night, man.
Really?
I fucking stunk it up.
It's
I've been like stinking it up lately.
On purpose? Like,
no, not at all.
So you're going.
I kind of quit doing stand up, and then I was like when the Eric Andre show started, everything that I was doing in my stand up was satisfied creatively more through the Eric Andre show.
Yeah.
And I like slowly kind of weaned off stand up, and then I started doing it again. Netflix offered me money for a special. I started doing it. Like really pet the pavement and going on the road hardcore. And then I did my Netflix special. I finished editing it February 2020, delivered it. Then COVID hit. Then after COVID, I was like, I don't really want to do stand up anymore. I want to focus on television and film.
Which makes sense because you were off the road. No one had to do stand up.
Yeah.
That makes complete sense.
I was burnt out on it and I was like, I'd rather focus my creative energy. And if I'm writing all day or filming or like by the time I've been thinking about comedy for 12 hours, I don't really feel like doing stand-up. So I go. I would go to the Stand or New York Comedy Club or a show in Brooklyn or something, and I just didn't have the same. I was here in my early 20s, and all I had was like just. I was full of piss and vinegar in those days. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're just hungry for it. And that's all you could do. That's all I had access to.
Yeah.
But now I'm like returning to it, and I feel like an unfrozen caveman. So I'm trying new jokes, but I'm stinking it up out there. I'm doing the Louis C.K. thing where you jerk off at work. No, yeah. Where you...
it's effective. It is very effective.
No, he told me, like, he goes, start out with the... And he says this publicly, like, start out with, like, the... A tried and true joke. Start with an old joke that works just to get your footing.
Yeah.
So the audience can like put their shoulders down and go, okay, this guy's has jokes that work.
Yeah.
And then do the, and then walk without a tightrope.
Before I ever got LASIK, I was a glasses guy. I was, I wore glasses from the time I was 16 up until 35 when I got LASIK. And the place I would always go is Warby Parker. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you how it really happened, is my fashionable friend was like, you haven't been to Warby Parker? You can see an optometrist in the store and also pick out great frames. And then I went, and the frames were unbelievable. I remember buying my first pair of glasses from Warby Parker. The girl I was dating were like, those are great. And I used to just get the like run-of-the-mill Walgreens pairs. So I was like, oh, okay. Trying, you know. Sometimes when you're buying glasses, they're like, you can get these ones, you can get these ones, and the styles just feel crazy outdated. But then you go to Warby Parker, and you're like, oh, you guys actually have great glasses. Nothing comes close. Quality, price, selection, customer service. I'm telling you, Warby Parker's the way to go. So Warby Parker gives you quality and better-looking prescription eyewear at a fraction of the going price. Our listeners get 15% off plus free shipping when they buy two or more pair of prescription glasses at warbyparker.com/soder. That's 15% off when you buy two pairs of glasses at W-A-R-B-Y, that's Warby, W-A-R-B-Y, parker.com/soder. After your purchase, they're going to ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know that we sent you. Getting older. We have families and we have to be adults. And I know we're all aging together in this thing of like, well, when do I become an adult? When do I do the adult thing? Life insurance is one of those things. Life insurance is one of those things. You're like, what the hell do I do? What do I get? Well, Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same day coverage. No medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage, and some policies are as low as $30 a month. Ethos has a 4.8 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot with over 4,000 reviews. So don't just take it from me, take it from those other 4,000 people. But if you're looking for life insurance or you're nervous about it, look into Ethos. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/soder. That's ethos.com/soder. ethos.com/soder. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
I was the other night when I bombed, I just was like, only new material that I hadn't even said out loud. And I was like, forgetting half the fucking bit. I was like, shit. Wait a minute.
Do you ever do the thing where you think the riff is going to take you and then you go up there and the first thing you say bombs and then it just completely.
That was the other night.
I remember doing that. I was on the road with Nate fucking like 15 years ago and he watched me do that and he went, you committed the thing where you thought the riff was going to open up everything and then you bombed.
No, yeah.
Because you miss on that one and then you just go like, fuck.
The very first open mic I ever did in New York City, I'd been doing comedy a year in Boston in college. I was 20, 21 years old. Was with Nate Bergazzi.
That was the first open mic you did?
I moved to New York like a couple years after 9/11. It was 2004.
Okay.
September or October of 2004. Yeah. I was finishing college. I was interning at Matador Records downtown.
That's awesome.
Because I was a music business major at Berkeley and fucking, I was doing an open mic and I was like, I told everybody at work, like, I'm going to do this open mic in New York City. I think This is like, I thought I was going to be like on stage, in front of 3,000 people.
That's what you imagine. Every open mic, every person that imagines an open mic imagines that it's a sold out theater and there's like red curtains on and that a guy over the God mic brings you up when you don't know. It is one of the saddest experiences of your life. You are in a room with people that don't want to hear you talk.
This was even worse. And this was like,
what open mic was?
This looked like where our Bud Dwyer committed suicide. It was like,
if this is going to upset you, you should leave. Fucking with a fucking gun. That's my favorite part of that whole video that no one talks about. He pulls out the gun and he goes, if this is going to upset you, you need to leave. What a good way to kill yourself.
What a crazy thing to say.
Before you shoot yourself publicly on the news.
Oh my God. So me and Nate and a couple other comics, it was the Yellow Open Mic. It was Comedy Soapbox recommended Yellow Open Mic, which was an unfortunate name of a Chinese bar in Chinatown.
No fucking way. Yeah,
it was called the Yellow Bar. I didn't come up with the name. And it was in the basement. It wasn't even where people drank. It was in the basement with fluorescent lighting, carpet, and like uncomfortable church chairs. And it was just me and Nate and two other comics at like 4:30 in the afternoon performing for each other.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and comics are the worst audience.
I was like, this is hell. This is hell on earth. What is the point of this?
I started in Tucson at a club called Laughs. And what they would do is it was smart what they did. They'd do the open mic from 7 to 8 p.m. And then there'd be a pro show at 8 p.m. So if you went on late in the open mic, you were going on in front of people.
Yeah.
You were going on. And it might have been like 60 people on a Thursday night, but you were going up.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I moved here and I went to like the Pit open mic.
Yeah.
Or something. I think Stand Up New York was the first open mic I went to.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I
went a lot, too.
I was like,
This is rough.
And then also, the amount of mentally ill people in New York City that do stand-up is like tenfold more than anywhere else. Maybe LA, it's close.
Oh, I don't know. New York.
But they literally come in off the street.
Yeah.
They just want to rant.
Yeah.
So you watch people.
Yeah.
And I learned how to diagnose schizophrenia faster than I learned how to get on a show. By being a New York open micer, you're just like, well, this person's clearly out of their fucking mind. That's always why the Brooklyn scene intimidated me, because when I would go to like Union Hall or one of those venues, everyone, even if they were faking it, seemed so comfortable on stage. That's why I was like, part of that shit always blew my Rafifi was a place you'd go and watch people and be like, they're all so comfortable doing this. I feel like a fucking fraud.
Oh, really? I felt like they were like a private school.
Really? You felt like that?
Yeah, I felt totally not.
Because you're coming from the punk scene in Florida, which is like.
Oh, they were in punk. They were like.
That's like
private school dandies that were like so. Incestuous, and I felt like I wasn't part of the cool club.
What's weird is I felt the same, but for a different reason.
Yeah,
I felt like
I was like loud and fucking rambunctious, and it was like cool to be very like monotone,
like
The Office, and like very like it was cool to be like. I don't know, fucking mousy and indie.
Yeah.
And,
looking down at your shoes and kicking around.
Yeah, shoegazy. I was not that at all. I was like bad brain. So like those motherfuckers did not like me at all. I never felt like I belonged in that.
But the punk thing makes so much sense. When did you get into punk music? Like very young?
12, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, middle school.
Was this the shit that like clicked for you where you were like the first time you heard Bad Brains? Or
You're like making cassette tape mixes for your friends?
Yeah.
Punk bands specifically or any band?
Just like punk bands.
Punk bands?
Because I was
like,
too big of a pussy for punk.
No,
I think I heard that and I was like, these guys are fucking nuts. Back to the nude thing.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are nuts. I was like, these guys are fucking.
What were you listening to? Phil Collins and shit?
Dude, I'm not going to lie. When you're a child.
No jacket required.
When you're a child of an alcoholic, this is what I'm talking about.
Were your parents divorced?
Yeah, but they both drank. So
your mom drank too.
Yeah, but she was listening to Bonnie Raitt. And then
I was going
out to California with my dad in the Bay Area, and he was getting fucked up to Buffett. And like.
Wow.
Like,
where did your parents meet?
San Francisco. In the
70s. What were they doing?
My mom worked in insurance. My dad was a bartender. And they had me, they broke up. My dad went back to the Bay. My mom was in Colorado.
So you split up your time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you're in Nuggets and a Giants.
Yeah. I picked the Nuggets because they traded Tim Hardaway to the Heat. I was a Warriors fan. And then they traded Tim Hardaway, and I was like, yo, fuck that. He's going to the Heat. And then I'd had no teams in Denver. And I'm like fighting kids on the playground because I'm like, the 49ers are way better than the Broncos.
So you split your time going back and forth. Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I flew a lot as a kid. So the travel is a comedian. Yeah, but
where's your friend group?
Denver, because that's where I went to school.
Oh, so summers you would be with Dad.
Summer or winter, I would go. I was on.
And Dad was like glug glug glug
all the time.
Worked at a liquor store. What was his rum, whiskey? Yeah.
Bacardi and Coke.
I'm a big rum guy.
He would do mostly Bacardi and a splash of Coke.
Yeah.
And get after it.
Yeah.
But then he moved.
Do you think he had depression?
I think he was an alcoholic. Maybe he was probably depression.
Did your grandpa have alcoholism?
Yeah, whole family did.
Oh, so it's like in the blood.
Yeah, that's. I quit 13 years ago. So when
you were hitting the fucking sauce.
When I used to know you, I was fucking boozy.
You were saucy.
I was fucking getting. I remember we did an outside show and I showed up like 30 minutes late, blackout.
Half in the bag.
Yeah, I showed up. And there's a picture of me, you, and Reese Waters.
Let me see. You got to look it up.
Let me see if I can find it.
What was your drink of choice? You were a Knob Creek guy.
I would. I was a Jameson with a beer back. I used to like to do
Boilermakers.
I used to, yeah. Yeah, I used to do like, not drop in. I would do a shot and then have a beer.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get all the way back to, I don't think it's on this phone.
I'm trying to drink and do more drugs, old man life.
You want to go.
I never had like a bad period with
you. You never did?
No,
I'll find this later.
I kind of was a fucking little chicken about it. So,
but see, that's crazy to me because to me, the punk music thing to me was more braver than getting fucked up. I thought, really? Like you going to shows and like fucking like crowd surfing or getting naked and being like you guys are spitting on each other and throwing and
we're just joking around.
I know,
it's the same way you joke around.
I know, but I didn't realize that. To me, it was like scary. I was like, God, these guys beat each other.
I never did
up.
Heroin.
I would have loved to. I think if I would have done it,
I want
to
do it
here.
Once before I die.
Me too.
When I'm old. Not in a syringe. I would smoke it or snort.
You would? I would want the full.
You want to do the syringe?
Yeah.
I would have somebody.
I would have to have
a nurse, like a registered nurse,
yes,
that knows how to administer a syringe.
I'm going to set it up. We're both going to be like 81.
I'm
going to
smoke crack too.
Well, that's how you have to pull out of it. It's the heroin down, crack out, and then you die. That's a way to fucking go out. High five God on the way out. That's interesting to me because I never thought like. Everybody I know had a problem with drugs or alcohol.
Yeah.
Most people I grew up with, everyone had a moment.
Yeah, I'm from Florida. Yeah.
Yeah.
My friends in high school are dead.
So did you see that and you were like, I'm not fucking with that? I'm just not going to.
I just did drugs in moderation and I didn't do opiates.
Do you not have like an addictive personality at all?
No, my parents didn't really drink that much. My mom drinks a little bit.
Yeah, but they have like social drinks. Right? Like once every...
My dad rarely drank.
I always loved that when I would go to a friend's house and they'd be like, my dad had a couple beers. And you're like, yeah, that's how they move. That's how they operate. And they're like, no, they don't. And like to watch someone... That's one of the reasons I started noticing I really had a problem was I'd go to weddings and people would expect me to get like really fucked up. And I was like...
Were you drinking in the morning?
Sometimes.
Were you drinking every day?
No. Oh, yeah, every day. Every night. For sure. That's how I got through the open mics in New York. Was they would pay you in drink tickets. I'm the guy that works on.
Yeah, that's tough because you got it from your dad. You got it in the blood.
Yeah, it's in my blood. My aunt was a crackhead, and she like told me because she got sober.
Well, you know, in Europe, you couldn't drink water. You had to drink alcohol.
That was also in like the Old West. Beer was like...
You like alcoholism and alcoholics were the only ones that would survive. Dehydration.
Oh,
you
really?
Couldn't drink water in Europe. My friends were like, my friend is like, if you, my friend Simon, he's Jewish, but he was like, Europeans were designed to be alcoholics. You couldn't drink the water. So if you didn't have beer for 2 days, you would die. Die from dehydration.
That's great.
So it's like alcoholism is like, bread. It's like a Bennett, like Winston Churchill, total booze bag, lived till he was 95.
Because it was, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, because like, you couldn't drink.
I knew in the Old West, it was like the water was so bad, the alcohol killed it off, so you could have whiskey or beer.
Yeah.
And you kind of knew that was safer.
No, you had to put whiskey in your water, you had to drink beer to drink water.
That's fucking...
You had to, so like...
That's something I want to read into, because it's like... Son of a bitch, I was born into that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Being like, you're going to be a fucking booze bag.
Yeah.
Because when I was young, when we were teenagers, I thought it was like a superpower.
I'm reading this book about the history of rum, and it talks about like how in the European cities, they like had to drink alcohol because the water was so polluted, but Native Americans could drink out of lakes and glacier yeah. water. And then when they started, when like Ben Franklin was about to start introducing rum and whiskey and shit,
the
Indians were going nuts and getting like fucking rocked. But because they weren't like bred to consume that much alcohol.
It's a real good book on the Sioux and the movie, the movement of the Sioux to like North Dakota and the Black Hills and shit. The heart of everything that is. It's about Red Cloud and
Sitting Bull and all that shit.
It's about like Crazy Horse, Custer's Last Stand. He was involved in all that shit. Red Cloud was like one of the only foreign generals to have like three or four victories against the U.S. Army in the history Whoa. Of the country. But they talked about how the Native Americans would trade for coffee was their first shit. Oh, that shit. They were like, yo, what is this?
This shit gets you geeked.
Yeah, I want this.
Yeah.
Coffee, tobacco.
Yeah.
They would trade for tobacco. And then when they brought whiskey, they were like, fuck that other shit. Yeah. I want that fire water.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when, you know, that's the corruption in the United States was like, oh, we can turn them out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they'll just steal their land because they'll be drunk and disordered.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
you go, that's fucking crazy.
yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
They were like, perfect.
Yeah, yeah,
they're
yeah.
hooked, as we all are. But I didn't know it was like, it's already in my blood.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they it's grew in the blood. Up. Yeah, yeah.
That makes a lot of fucking sense.
It's in the blood.
It's also
It was the way to decontaminate water.
Yeah, because it's easier than decontaminating the water source. It's just going like.
Well, they were just like shitting and pissing in the streets. Like fucking Beethoven, yeah. Mona Lisa. They were like pissed. They were like pissing shit in a bucket and just throw it out of a fucking window in Vienna. I was like, it's like a Gigi Allen concert. Yeah. Everywhere you went. Oh, yeah. Fuck.
But then there are people in the punk scene that are like, yeah, fuck yeah, fuck
That's
yeah.
how the punk scene started. Yeah.
The people outside that are like, oh, I like You're your just chamber getting pot.
Fucked. Yeah. yeah, fucking Beethoven's just throw golden your shower.
Ben Franklin too, man. The more you read about him and how just like he was just like I want pussy and I got diseases.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was just like
dick was on fire.
He was just going. The French don't complain, and you're like Jesus Christ. These old guys in wigs just sweating through a July.
They had crazy pimples. They had those like super pimples and shit. Really? You know about that? They had like. Fucked up skin and super pimples, and they would like put makeup on, like their fucking pores were all clogged.
That's like the
they had syphilis, and their brains were fucking deteriorating.
And they're the ones that they're like, the forefathers would be disappointed today. Like, they'd be out of their fucking tits. Yeah. They'd be on the streets.
Or they're hammered, and they would get like a bad batch of brandy that had like methanol in it, and go blind. Like, yeah, when you distill liquor, it's called the head. Like the first part of it is methanol, and you get rid of it.
Sure.
And it's the stuff in the middle of the distillation process that you drink.
Sure.
So you get rid of the head and the tail, but the head you really have to get rid of. You can drink the tail, but it doesn't taste good.
That's like moonshine. Like when all those people in the South go blind from moonshine is because they don't get rid of all that methanol.
Yeah, you gotta get rid of the methanol.
Because you're just going for that sweet, sweet ethanol burned down.
You're going for the sweet, sweet ethanol.
But then I didn't, dude, you know what's that thought of that, like the forefathers and super wigs? And like
the British judges are still rocking those fucking wigs.
But like taking them off and how sweaty their heads
Why do they
be.
Rock those fucking wigs? And do you know that the British judges, they study in the city of London, which isn't London. It's a miniature city within the middle of London that has like secret societies and weird, like that's where those judges study and they get those fucking wigs.
That's when they give them, they put it on like Vader's helmet.
Yeah.
They press it down and they're like, you are a judge.
But they look like those sheep that like, you know, the sheep in New Zealand that get lost for 5 years and come
70
back.
Pounder
all dreadlocked up.
Dude, I used to search for those because when I was on the road and I was like, it was like cathartic to me to watch them shave down those like heavy
those
sheep.
Those like dreadlock fucking Rasta sheep.
Yeah, when they're like, I've been out in the forest for a long time. Bruh, 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 bruh. Bruh, bruh, I'll be a sheep, I'm no longer a lamb. I'll be a real lion. And then shave them down. And
you want
like,
some mutton?
Don't be giving you my chops. I'll be giving you the whole thing.
Rasta sheep.
Rasta sheep. You'll be a
queen. Don't you get lonely on the road?
Yeah. All the
road, I feel like is isolating.
It's very isolating.
Especially when I'm in like Des Moines or like corn country. Like
that's why
I'm
you bring
like,
a friend to open.
Yeah.
Because you got to bring you a friend. And a buddy.
You got to bring a friend to open.
If you go by yourself, you're fucking crazy. That's why I used to watch. Speaking of dreadlocks, it's springtime. Time to put away the heavy layers. It's time for those breathable, durable clothes that move with you and you can keep up with anything in a spring calendar. Cold day one. hot day the next. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance material. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. So you can look normal and cool, is what I'm guessing. Get moving with Mack Weldon. Comfortable anywhere. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with the promo code DAN. I wanted to make it sound like I was recording it at two different places. DAN. That's MackWeldon.com. Use code DAN. A thing I used to love was watching big beards get shaved because it was like a relief, and dreadlocks getting cut off. And then you watch
video of that?
They're all over YouTube. It was stinking up my algorithm for a long time because it looks like
I'm just watching Puerto Rican thickies like try out their new bikinis. You're like, just shaking look at this dude shave.
And I'm watching a guy go like this. Smooth.
He's done. Like, grab your phone. I'm like, I guess I'll jerk off to this.
But you know, the back to the forefathers things, not thinking of they had super pimples or that they fucking were hammered all the time.
Hammered, that's like the syphilis.
Everybody's like, I want to go back there. And you're like, this smells.
So they reeked horseshit everywhere. New York City, horseshit's everywhere.
People that complain now about New York City, you go, imagine during 1776.
Everybody's breath, like whiskey breath, dead teeth, horse shit.
They're sweaty. The
Canarsie Indians would pay people in like clams and oysters and shit. So there's like, fucking old clams.
When they have a sack? You know how white people love to go to like a Montauk or New England and go clamming, and they go, we just had a bag and we just put the clams in the bag. Yeah, yeah. That was like 1776. People like are walking around and they're just like walking around. You're like, dude, don't eat those clams. And he's like, they're good, governor. And then you're shitting in a pot. But I think about that with dinosaurs too. If you went back to when dinosaurs, you'd be like, the smells would be like, you get out of that time machine. Any time travel, if you go back, you would just get out and be like, what the fuck is this?
Dinosaurs are keeping it moving. Like before agriculture, humans, dinosaurs, everybody's keeping it moving.
Yeah,
so you're like shitting, but then you keep it going. There's no like city center.
Sure.
You're nomadic, so you just like move on from the shit. Like when you're walking through the woods and you see fucking deer shit or bear shit, you're not like, I mean, if you put your nose in it, it's going to stink, but you're like, keep it moving.
Yeah, but also a lot of times it's dried out so that it doesn't stink as bad.
Yeah, it's when we started getting stationary, like after like agriculture was invented. That's when diseases spring up. Like
the Industrial Revolution made everybody sick.
It's agriculture. Because really? You read Guns, Germs, and Steel?
I started it?
Everybody.
I haven't even been able to crack it.
Yeah, like everybody fucking sat still and pigs and cows were wallowing in shit.
Yeah.
People started fucking their sheeps and getting fucking, it's true. Like pox, all the pox, smallpox and all the.
It was all from cows,
yeah.
Because dudes were like, look at that pussy.
My wife's annoying, but the sheep's up. People were fucking the pigs and the sheep and the cow.
My touch in a positive way. Not like my wife, where she's like, don't make me go through 9 months of pain again.
I think the sheep were like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
Farmer Brown's drunk.
the first two, like, fucking sprawled out, being like, get me away.
All the modern, like, viruses and stuff are from agriculture.
From
animals, like, wallowing in their shit and us eating and fucking them.
Damn.
Yeah.
The guy that tried to make fucking a sheep cool, you know, where they're, like, sitting around and they go, these are very lovely cuts of meat. And he goes, what would you say if I told you I had sex with this? They'd react like I did about getting naked. I'd be like, I don't have it. And then be like, but I'll try it later. When I'm more comfortable, I'll try it.
Well, you were the most bummed when you were talking about coming in your wife. You were like, shit. You were like, Jerry Dibber. I thought you'd be clicking your heels.
I mean, it is the best thing. It's the greatest thing ever. But it's like, until I get, because I have the vasectomy, I'm scheduling the vasectomy.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking about.
You freeze your sperm?
No. I'm going to go. I'm thinking about how much I'm going to love it post-vasectomy.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about it. Then you're like, we're going to have a home run handshake. Yeah. I'm going to be like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Because it's bowling with bumpers. Then I don't have to worry about, because I think that's the worry. We're both so decided that I don't want to fuck up. That's where the nervousness is. Damn, dude. But now I'm.
Is that the big show?
Yeah, dude. Wow. That's the Raw 20. I know the cameras can't see it. It's the Raw 25th anniversary. Michael Che called me and he was like, "Do you want to go to Raw 25th anniversary?" And I was like, "Fucking A.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's the best." With him, too. So they do the thing, you know, where they like drive in the SUV and you go down the elevator. He like. Che,
Che's like the fucking Meghan Merkel of the wrestling world.
No,
don't know.
They give him that, like, him and Sal.
Was it Sal Kobe Bryant?
They go in and they go, like, come on ringside. Like, they sit ringside. Wow. It's different than when I went with Dan St. Germain for his bachelor party and we were second to last row at MSG. And then I'm watching Stone Cold Steve Austin have a beer with Sal. He's like, come on, Sal, get in the ring. And we're all at the top. Me, Mike Lawrence, Dan St. Germain, Scott Chaplin. We're in NWO shirts. And we're like, we know that guy. Way better experience.
NWO is WCW, right?
Yeah, but it came over to WWE.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, they had the whole invasion.
WCW was cool, was that? Cool with that?
Well, they got bought out. Vince McMahon bought WCW.
He did not like WCW.
No, it was his only competition, and he was a true carnival man, so he bought it out.
He wanted to be the only show in town.
And then he ran.
What about AEW?
I got one of those chairs over there. Shout out.
Are they still going?
Shout out Colt Cabana. Yeah.
What about ECW?
Got bought by WWE as well.
Oh, shit.
WWE bought ECW and WCW and owned them all. So they own all the property.
Yeah.
And then AEW has been the only. I mean, there's also TNA, which got bought out by WWE. But there's other, like, wrestling leagues.
Is Triple H eyeing AEW?
He can't touch it.
Why?
Tony Khan's too rich, the guy who owns it.
He won't.
He's not a billionaire.
It's not for sale.
Yeah, and he wants to run it himself. They're enemies. But that always happens in wrestling, where you get bought out. Imagine if
just heard your audience change the channel.
Wrong. My audience just fucking is doubled diehard? Down. Yeah, but
okay, great.
Here's the thing. I'm the guy that's been pushing back on people calling wrestling gay since I was 8. Because it is gay, but it's my kind of gay. It's the kind of gay I like. There's no busting inside. It's just fucking. But it's like, that's what I'm upset about with the WWE now, is they are courting people to get, like, they're getting famous people. But it's famous people that have been shitting on wrestling for 20 years.
Oh, fuck
and
that.
And so I just go, like,
I had Junkyard Dog bed sheets growing up.
Junkyard Dog was the man. Watch his Dark Side of the Ring. That guy was fucking nuts. That guy was over. And I mean popular. Like, he was the fucking man.
How did he die?
I don't know. I had
my bedroom sheets growing up were Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, and Junkyard Dog sheets.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's the wrestling superstars. I had a
Junkyard Dog doll
growing up. Yeah, one of those. The big rubber one with the red pants.
I had this doll.
I had the JYD.
I had the Macho Man doll, and I had...
That's the original Macho Man from the 80s, where he had the fucking weird headband and shit.
I had these.
Yeah.
And,
gave me those after a show.
Green Tongue, George Animal Steel?
Yep.
I had the green tongue fucking.
I had the Andre the Giant where he had the afro and the blue shorts.
Oh, shit.
It was like I had the old school Andre before the strap. He was
really. Oh God!
Double check that because that's a crazy way. But he was like, so what's crazy is there's a great book.
Well, those guys had like hepatitis.
Those guys
like
were all alcoholics. They all were nuts.
On heroin, coke,
kids,
meth.
Well, they would do pain pills. GHB famous because you know GHB got famous because of bodybuilders and pro wrestlers, because if you take GHB it helps you sleep, but it burns fat while you sleep.
Oh really?
So they would take
I know the gays like it because you can get drunk but no calories,
so
it's like a super alcohol
because it burns the fat when you're sleeping. GHB has a reaction where it burns the fat.
God, it's a wonder drug.
So wrestlers would take it to go to sleep on the road, because they're on the road 300 days a year.
So he probably took it and fucking passed out behind the wheel.
But they were using it in ways where it was like, before the date, were like, excellent, I can roll with that. Wrestlers were like, oh, I can sleep and I'll wake up looking fucking cut.
Oh, shit.
Because
they used to sell it at GNC back in the day.
Yeah.
We would do it at raves in high school. Yeah.
How would you do it? Just like
it was called scoops. You would do a shot of it at a rave in high school.
And
you would just get it at GNC. Yeah.
Would you pass out?
If you do too much of it,
okay. But if you do the right amount,
you gotta like set your watch to do the right amount because you can overdose and it sucks.
See, for me growing up.
And you don't want to mix it with alcohol and you don't want to mix it with ketamine or you're cooked.
Or you're dead.
You're not in good shape.
So that was always the fear for me, was like that kind of shit was scary to me. But then doing bong rips and drinking a fucking half a bottle of whiskey, I was like, well, that's normal.
Yeah.
That's but
I'm
like
from Florida, so we're like any drug ever. We would spray our weed with Raid and bug spray and shit. Yeah.
When did you first see
Cloud Nine would dip the weed in embalming fluid?
Well, that's Sherman, baby.
Yeah, that's just going Sherman.
Yeah, that's getting wet.
Yeah. We were fucking nuts.
When did you ever see bath salts? Or did you leave by the time?
No, but I heard that the bath salt thing, the guy that zombie ate that guy's face, they drug tested him and he just had like a very teeny tiny bit of weed in the system. So it was just
schizophrenia.
Yeah, it was totally, I don't know, undiagnosed, but it was like
something.
It was junk journalism. I'm friends with Hamilton Morris, who has that show on Vice, Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia.
Yeah.
He goes, that's totally junk journalism, scare tactic journalism. He's like, it's total bullshit. They didn't find anything in that guy.
I wonder if it's a
PCP. Too. He goes, PCP doesn't give you super strength.
It doesn't.
He goes, PCP was invented by an anesthesiologist. It's kissing cousins with ketamine. It's almost the exact same thing as ketamine.
No shit.
But if poor white people or poor black people do it, then it's going to have a bunch of junk journalism about it. So he goes, crystal meth and Adderall, almost exactly the same molecularly.
Really?
One molecule difference. But poor white people do crystal meth.
Yeah.
And suburban to rich white people do Adderall.
And it's also
and it's the Chris Rock joke. The government doesn't want you to do your drugs. The government wants you to do their drugs.
Yeah, because I mean,
so PCP, poor black people, poor white people do it. Ketamine, suburban white people, rich white people do it. He's like, it's almost the same drug, invented for the same reasons. Both invented by anesthesiologists.
Because when crystal we were meth, there, when
Adderall, we, same drug.
Especially early mid 90s, PCP was, if you take it, you'll break through the handcuffs of the police.
Yeah, you'll break through the handcuff, you'll peel off your hand, complete bullshit.
You'll get shot by the cops 9 times and survive.
Total bullshit. I did it recently.
You did PCP?
I did like a little bump. The guy I get my psychedelics from, it was like PCP was on the menu. So I was like, let me try. My friend was doing ketamine, so I was like, I don't really like ketamine, let me try PCP. Not only did I not feel super strength, which is like, yeah. I wish. Yeah. That'd be fucking rad. If you're on steroids, I mean, I'm sure that somebody on COPS who was on steroids and experiencing a psychotic break and doing PCP was on PCP. But I did it and I felt great.
You grabbing an Olympic.
I just did a little bump though. I didn't do like a fucking heroic
grabbing
dose.
Like a clean and jerk from the Olympics and being like, and popping both your shoulders out. But that's, you know what I mean? It's like, I didn't even know that. I didn't know PCP was molecularly the same as, because I knew kids doing ketamine in high
school.
I don't
know if it's exactly the same, but it's like, it was invented for the same reason. One scientist invented it for... They're both invented by anesthesiologists.
You know what's funny is about the government thing was when I lived in Tucson, it was the first major crackdown on selling Sudafed because they were turning it into crystal meth.
Right.
And really, that's just the government going, no, you can't go make it yourself.
Yeah. We got to get it from us. Yeah. Because
they were just cooking it up.
So Adderall, Vyvanse, it's just part of the amphetamine family. It's the same thing Hitler would shoot up.
Yeah, I was just listening.
It's not that different. And also crack and cocaine are almost exactly the same. The only difference between crack is the baking soda. It's the same. It's the same.
But
you smoke crack and you snort cocaine, but they're the same. But Reagan passed all these laws to make crack
because that was the cheaper alternative.
Worse sentencing for crack possession.
So what about the whole CIA highway Rick Ross bringing it into black neighborhoods
in Oakland in 83?
Yeah, like all that stuff, was that was just cocaine?
I gotta ask Carl Hess, he would know. He told me the whole history of it. It was like they were experimenting something in I think it was in Belize. I don't want to get this information wrong. It
but
was
look
like,
this up also it, yeah. Carl Hess, I haven't heard that name in forever.
Yeah, I love Carl. He's my drinking fucking, buddy.
He's awesome.
Man. He's the man.
Carl Hess rules.
Yeah, and he's like he has like encyclopedic knowledge. Like he was telling me that the CIA, they're always tampering with Central America. So like, and like inventing like fucking, you know, like funding,
they've been
selling weapons, you know, funding paramilitary death groups and Contras and, you know, starting civil war. So it was something like they were making, they like Belize, I think, was getting cocaine and basically like stepping on it with baking soda to make it cheaper.
And cooking it.
And then the CIA brought that into Oakland and introduced it to black neighborhoods in Oakland to fuck them up, like the way that the Native Americans were fucked up by whiskey.
It was just their new brandy and rum. It was the same bit, just same a different bit. Punchline.
Same bit. Same
so
bit.
They just go, we're just doing different the same
mark.
Bit.
So, yeah. So, but it's so coke and crack, almost identical. Meth and Adderall, one molecule different. And PCB and ketamine, almost exactly the same.
Do you think they have, do you think like the ultra rich have like an alternative version of alcohol that doesn't?
It's GHB. And my friend, my buddy that said when GHB got labeled the date drug, he goes, I bet you Anheuser-Busch is pushing that narrative.
That's what I'm, okay, so that's what I was also wondering about.
A lot of people are going back to, the gays started going back to GHB and the straights are following suit because now people are looking at it like, wait, is it the date drug or is any sedative in the hands of a a weed gummy is a date drug. Yeah. If you're a rapist,
you give him a 200 milligram.
You know,
Tylenol
PM is a date drug. If you're a fucking rapist,
fucking NyQuil.
NyQuil is a date drug. If you're a rapist, Yeah. But so a lot of people are going back to GHB because they're like, wait, were all those stories in the late 90s, early 2000s, were those pushed by Anheuser-Busch agenda? A lot of people are thinking that there's a conspiracy for that because of the junk science coming out about PCP in the 80s and crack in the 80s, and it's the same thing. So,
I wonder
GHB is like a alternative to alcohol that can get you drunk, but you have to do it safely because you can fucking overdose really easy.
I wonder if they're doing that right now because you're seeing that weed, they're going like, yeah, marijuana is causing psychosis in kids in their 20s and shit. Kind of like they're trying to do a weed scare but still make money off it. And I wonder if it's because alcohol sales have plummeted. Kids,
oh, really?
Kids now do not drink. Gen Z, Gen Alpha, they don't want to drink.
I'm hearing that, but I'm also...
I have a friend that works for like a major liquor company, and he's no, the
alcohol's
numbers...
really bad for you.
Yeah. Ask him. So I talk about it too much on this podcast,
It's like cancerous, and it's like...
causes most of the health problems.
It screws with your deteriorates your frontal lobe, your body screws with your pancreas, your liver, your...
Your body can't regenerate shit when it's fighting out the sickness of alcohol.
It's crazy. But I mean, we had beer and wine for millions of years, and we've only had liquor for like 500 years, 600
that's
years.
That's the real motherfucker problem.
Yeah, so like liquor is like 10 times the ABV of beer.
Yeah,
so we had like we had like 3% alcohol beer for millions of years.
Yeah.
That's like your body can handle.
Yeah.
But that's like liquor distilled with an alembic fucking, like a pot still is like, that's like the Industrial Revolution.
Who was it first? Was it the Brits with gin?
Well, those alembic stills are from the Middle East.
Okay.
They're like Arabic. So it was maybe French people in North Africa or Spanish people in North Africa throwing different things in these lambic that stills to make perfume, but like some fucking mad scientist was like, shit, this shit gets you lit, bro.
Like, I am so sick of not getting pussy. I walk at the perfume factory and he gets drunk and he's like, I don't give a shit about any of this. I will kill everyone. But that makes the bath salt thing, now that we're talking about companies coming back, I wonder if that's a hit job from someone like a fucking bubble bath companies being like, yo, these bath salts are fucking us up.
Maybe
create a thing that they're going to make you eat people's face. Because that had to take a hit. Yeah. When that guy in Florida got accused of zombifying.
It was totally bullshit.
And it was all bullshit.
There was
how far that spread.
Yeah, because misinformation spreads.
It's easier.
10 times as much as real information. Yeah. Real information is boring. Misinformation is exciting.
Misinformation, it's you go you go like, ooh, give me more.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's way more exciting.
Real science, you go, well.
You're like, yawn.
You go, well, that makes sense.
Shut up, Nerdsworth. I'm trying to hear fake information.
Yeah, but I mean, you guys doing GHB, if you told me in high school, we can go to this house party and do gravity bong hits and drink Everclear, or you can go to this punk show, do a shot of GHB and just have a good time and be sweaty.
Yeah, no hangover.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No hangover and you're fine. I would have been more scared of that than going to a kid's...
Well, like alcohol is normalized.
Yeah.
So it's like everything's marketing. You know what I mean? Like if you're used to something, it's what is it called? It's either mere exposure effect or repeated exposure effect. Something
probably
like
repeated exposure.
It's just like, I don't know if I'm getting that term right. It's something about like, if you just see a fucking Pepsi ad 10,000 times, your fucking chimpanzee brain goes, okay, Pepsi's safe. I'm seeing it all the time.
That's why I have a big problem with pharmaceutical ads, because we're the only country, I think there's like us and one other country are the only countries that pharmaceutical ads are allowed to be on TV.
Hmm.
Where they're allowed to market the drug and skip the doctor. Where they're basically allowed to go to the person and be like, which blows my mind.
Hey, life could be better, huh?
But by the way, it's not even those kind of drugs. It's like complicated ones that's like, if you have thyroid cancer, you might be able to live 5 more months with this drug. Hmm. And you're like, well, the doctor should be telling people. You shouldn't learn that because you were watching fucking Wheel of Fortune.
And you're
like, hey, I think I found another 5 months to my life if I take this with the catchy song.
Yeah.
They did like they did a parody of a famous song, and now I want to come to your office and they're, because they're always like, consult your doctor. It's like the doctor should be fucking telling you.
Yeah,
that's one of the crazy things is pharmaceutical ads and gamble. I'm very loud about the gambling shit because that is just gonna fucking, that's gonna ruin people the way opiates did. But I think pharmaceutical ads are right up there with like, what the fuck are we doing?
I think iPhone addiction. We're gonna look back on iPhones and fucking cigarettes.
We were talking about that. It's like
I'm so fucking addicted to my phone. It's a fucking tragedy.
I started
I doom scroll. I'm like, what did I just do for 2 hours?
I will check out of doing something to doom scroll and then check back in and go, I just lost two hours of my life.
I
started.
I used to read.
Yeah.
I don't read anything.
Dude, that's so funny. I'm buying books again. I'm buying books again because my brain like fucking needs it.
Yeah. I'm so ADD now because the phone, I can't read. So
I put. It's
like, you're going to look back on that like cigarettes. Like, holy shit. Do you know they used to smoke cigarettes inside the airplane and restaurants? Didn't everybody get lung cancer? Yeah, dude. It was fucked. They put asbestos in some cigarettes. That's what we're going to look about.
They used to just, it was a tradition. That when a baby was born and they gave it to the father, the father would smoke a cigar with the baby there. Just fucking like, that's my boy. And the baby's like,
fuck,
I'm already dying. But do you charge your phone next to your bed?
No. I have an insomnia psychiatrist. My insomnia got really bad. So I put all electronics. There's no electronics.
How great is that?
Yeah.
It changes.
Yeah.
I did. I started putting my phone in the bathroom to charge.
Yeah.
So at night, when I go to take my fucking pill or whatever, I take charge it and then I go to bed, because I was waking up on the road and just at 3 in the morning just looking at my phone.
Every girl I've dated for the past 10 years, phone on all throughout the night right by their fucking head. I'm like, get it out of here,
dude. This one,
it's
crazy. This one, she listens to
Mario Go Kart fucking sound effects. I'm like, it's by their head, next to their temple.
I had to tell her to put it on airplane mode. I was like, hey, she listens to podcasts. She listens to podcasts to fall asleep.
Why do you need it?
I know.
Turn it off and get it out of the fucking room.
I used to be.
Why do you need it while you're unconscious?
I used to not have a TV in my room. And I used to sleep better.
I have no TV in my room.
It's great.
I don't bring a laptop in there.
You just go to sleep.
The bedroom is for sleep and sex.
Yeah.
That's it.
Are you getting good sleep?
I am now. I had to fucking go with this. I had to work with this insomnia psychiatrist. I had fucking bad insomnia.
But I think the screen time, I think that we're going to find a correlation later between screen time and sleep apnea.
Oh, sleep apnea. I got a CPAP machine.
I
wear the orange glasses.
But I think CPAP, I think it helps a lot of people, especially those that are morbidly obese and can't get like the breath when they're sleeping.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that is going to wash away in 20 years because I got diagnosed with sleep apnea, but he was like, we should get you a CPAP machine. I tried it. I didn't like it. And then I started seeing the charges that I was getting to my insurance was like monthly, where they're like, hey, you gotta update it. You gotta fucking do this. And I was going, you're just trying to get me on the hook.
I was dating, the proof was I was dating this Australian girl and she's like, when you don't have your fucking CPAP machine, you're snoring. It's like I'm next to a bloody walrus fucking like running out of oxygen.
Snoring.
And then she goes, when you have it, not only do you not snore, but you're like as still as a fucking
then that works.
Baby. Like you don't move and I can actually sleep.
Because I think there are people that get that, right?
Like mom snores real bad.
So my dad used to snore. So I thought maybe, I snore or whatever. tried the CPAP thing, didn't work. Still couldn't sleep. Was doing edibles. I was like doing shit that wasn't.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing. I was like mixing. I would take an edible and Benadryl and fucking. And then I got addicted to Xanax to get to sleep and all that.
And you're taking like the ZQL shit.
Yeah, ZQL, all that shit. I stopped all that shit.
So I used to be like, ooh, it's an Advil PM night on the road.
Yeah,
and I'd take one of those and zonk out
all the time.
And then I got a fucking white noise machine.
Yeah,
a white noise machine changed the way that I sleep.
Oh, that did it for you.
Dude, I took it on the road and I plugged it in and it was working at home, but I was like, the road's the real test. I turned it on and I took a nap and I fucking slept for like 45 minutes. I like actually, like to the point where I woke up, I didn't know where I was.
Whoa.
It was like disassociating because I got such,
that's your shit.
Yeah, I got such deep sleep. And then I turned it off next to me and I could hear the hallway and I could hear like the coming and goings. I could hear like people, like the doors opening and shutting.
See, I get better sleep in a hotel room. Do you?
What about tour bus?
Tour bus, horrible. I stopped.
I couldn't do it.
I stopped doing the tour
bus. And everyone, all my friends were like.
When I first did it, I loved it. I was like, fucking, yeah, man, this is fucking rules.
But well, it does feel rock and roll.
Yeah, I hate it. I can't.
I couldn't sleep.
It's and I know this band, the guy got in a fucking horrendous tour bus accident. The tour bus driver was mincemeat. The drummer was paralyzed. He fucking looked. Part of his hand doesn't work anymore. He's a guitar player.
Yeah, see?
So, like, I was like, nah, fuck this shit.
That was the Metallica Cliff Burton story.
Yeah.
They're like, they were dead asleep in their bunks. They hit ice in Europe, and the fucking bus flipped, and it killed cooked. Cliff Burton.
Yeah,
and you're like, dude, fuck that. Yeah, so,
Tracy Morgan, same thing, and Artie Fuqua.
They were in a Sprinter van. They were in a Mercedes Sprinter van.
Okay.
When I got hit by that Walmart truck. I just know that because of Artie. But they were like in like a big one of those giant.
Can you imagine? And Artie only lived because he like walked, happened to go to the front.
It's
just
crazy.
For like somebody's like, hey, check out this thing, whatever. He like went to the front and he goes, everybody in the back died.
But tour buses, when you're asleep and you're laying down on the tour bus, you hear the treads of the road.
No,
and
that
keeps
it.
Me up. For some people, that's like it lulls them to sleep.
No,
but for me, when I went on Bert's tour of that summer, and we were on that tour bus for like 4 weekends in a row. When I couldn't...
He's rocking the PJs now, though, right?
I mean, dude, he's got... I think so. This was 2 years ago, and it was like me, Attell, Big J, DeRosa, a bunch of people were on the tour. Everyone was like, I can't wait for the tour bus because I can sleep better. I wouldn't sleep all night.
No way.
And then we would park, and I would fucking fall asleep. Oh, so shit. Everyone would be getting up, and I'd be like, dude, I'm just falling asleep. Because I'd hear like...
No.
And I'm like, what is that? But it's just him changing lanes or something.
No, I hate it.
I hated it. That's crazy because it does make me feel nuts.
I weirdly loved it at first and got perfect sleep.
Really?
Like the first year we did it. Yeah, I did it when I was like 28, 29.
And then,
loved it. And then like I went back to it and I fucking hated it. Something changed. I aged.
Are you having a hard time finding comics to do your bombing podcast? Like are there people that don't want to talk about it or all
no.
comics? All comics want to talk about it.
Comics love talking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We also love talking about it being embarrassed.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I might not.
Also, it's not just comics. I have anybody. Like, I've had chefs on, musicians. What?
How do chefs bomb?
Just a horrible gig. A restaurant fails. They fucking biff it. It's a show about failure.
Yeah.
Trials and tribulations.
I love that.
You know, it's not like.
A chef failing and coming back and being like. It's food poisoning. A chef failing is food poisoning.
Yeah, we had Roy Chay on. He was just talking about like how he's been like badly burned and sliced up. And he would get so nervous. He went to this like Japanese culinary school and he got so nervous that his nose started bleeding on the food.
Oh my God. Dude, that first drop where you're like there, like you just see, you know, because anybody who's ever had a nosebleed, you notice it because it drops on
something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where
it goes, he was like fuck.
Where he'd be like, fuck.
Yeah.
What the fuck? And in the movie, that always means you're about to die of cancer. Whenever they show that, they go, what is that? And then they cut to the detective leaving his wife's funeral. But if it happened in a culinary setting, that would probably fuck me up.
Yeah.
I'd be like, fuck. Like,
yeah, and it makes it worse because then you're freaking out.
Because when you freak out when you bomb, it always makes it worse.
Yeah.
And like, I've done it so many times. I've been like, what's wrong? You guys don't fucking like it? And then they're like, no, now we really don't like you.
Yeah.
Like, we were acting cool, but now actively fuck you. And you're like, God damn it. I've had ones where you're like, I saw something that I've never heard. And I don't know the comic's name, but a comic bombed at the stand so hard recently that he didn't get applause when he left the stage.
Yeah, I couldn't.
At...
I'd, I think that might have been me.
But that's a level of bombing where you're like, that's...
No, it sticks to your ribs.
Yeah.
You can't make eye contact with people afterwards.
I bombed at Stand Up New York one time doing a check spot so bad.
It doesn't count. A check spot bombing doesn't count. It feels like it counts, but you can't. People are literally distracted, like not paying attention to what you're saying.
Didn't matter. I fucking ate it. And I went outside and called her. The girl I was dating, I called her at the time and I went, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. It was like one of those where you got whipped so bad that you go, I don't feel so good. Can you come pick me up? It's calling your mom because you puked. Can you come get me? I'm sick. That's how I felt. It was like, fuck that. Dude, I appreciate you coming by here, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. What's the premise of your podcast?
Nothing. It's this. It's premiseless. But you know what's funny?
I did Stavros' podcast 2 nights ago. And it's just like this. We're in his apartment and we're just fucking bullshitting. And then, like, he had a caller call in and it was she was like, my boyfriend only likes fucking me in the ass and he never eats my pussy. I was like, Stavi, what's the fucking premise of your podcast?
Well, you know what though, Stav, that's what it is. He was like, fuck it, call in or whatever. Because
calling for advice is funny from him because it's like,
him being like, eat her pussy like a doctor. My professional diagnosis is munch more box.
He's like a Hunter S. Thompson's lawyer, like Benicio del Toro. And
He's Oscar Acosta. He's like, I'll tell you what you do. Take a machete there.
As your lawyer, we need 5 ounces of cocaine.
But mine was like, you know how many people you cut out when they go, like, what's your premise? And you go, I just gonna hang out with comics in my office. And they go, well, you don't need producers for that. You're like, me and Mike got it. And then they're I'm a fan of yours. So I have people on that I like, that I'm like, oh, I fuck with this person. Yeah. And then I just hope people that, you know, most people that are watching this know who you are.
Kevin Hart had me on his podcast and I was like, halfway through, I was like, this guy clearly hates me. I go, does he know that I was booked today? I think I asked him. I was like, did you book me? I don't think you want me here.
Whenever I have that, I go, I've never had that because it's all people that it's like.
Why would you? Why would you?
Kevin Hart's a machine. So he's bam, what do we got? This guy just, bam, he's famous. What are we doing? I'm Kevin Hart.
He looked at me like this, like the whole time. He's like,
I've done a couple of
those. Where'd you get your start? I was like, I can go. We don't have to be here.
You know what's funny?
Neither of us.
that was morning radio for me on the road for a lot of my career.
The worst.
You go in and they go like, why are you here?
The last time I did terrestrial radio, I was like doing a bunch in a row. And I just I'll be right back. I got to go use the restroom. And I just hung up on the Zoom. My publicist is like blowing me up like, you got like 10 more. I go, there's no point.
There's no point.
There's no point. He goes, well, you're going to like burn a bridge. I go with like CW in Cincinnati. I don't care.
Zoom and the butt dog.
I'll grab the kerosene. Yeah.
But there are, you know, what's funny about that is the relationships I still do have with the morning radio that I know, like Preston and Steve in Philly, they're my favorite, is they were always super cool to me when I was headlining like a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And they'd go, come in, promote your show. And you're like, you guys don't have to do this for me. And they'd be like, no, it'll get people when I'm selling 16 tickets.
Nobody was rude to me, but I was like, these people don't know who I am. No, their audience doesn't know who I am. I don't listen to terrestrial radio. Nobody that's coming to my show does. So.
But there's that. I've got the ones that were like rude where they're like, why are you here? And you're like, because you have a relationship with the club. And the club's making me do this. I don't want to fucking do this. But like famous people.
Especially when you have to get up so fucking goddamn early.
Yeah, like yours is something. Mine, you know, probably should have been forewarned. You're just going to sit on my fucking couch where I play video games and talk. But yours has a premise where it's understandable where you go, yeah, go in. And then you're like, I'm ready to talk about failure.
Yeah. But I also cheat on the premise of mine all the fucking time. So.
Sure.
You know, it's really just an excuse to hang out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that's all you want to do. Yeah. Like, dude, I honestly would have never walked in here. You make so much more sense to me now knowing you came from a punk rock kind of like beginning that I go,
you make so much more sense to me now that I know you did PCP a few weeks ago.
Yes. Can I tell you this? Yeah. And in a totally awesome way. Where I go, fuck yeah. It's context.
It just
puts it like you didn't know that I grew up with booze bag parents.
No, I didn't.
And that I fucking.
I thought you were still hitting the fucking sauce.
See what I mean?
But you got the baritone. You have that deep voice. It sounds like.
And you know who's got the deep voice? My mom. When you meet really? My mom, yeah, did you
it
meet my
sounds
mom?
Like you sound like it's like a whiskey drinking
but
voice.
But it's just my mom had a deep voice.
Okay.
My dad had a regular voice. My mom's like, how are you doing?
Like, Janet Reno's your mom.
Can I tell you this, Eric? And I swear to God, this is real. My friends from high school would tell you this. I was raised, you know, my mom was a single mom, so I'm an only child.
Yeah.
So you kind of go at each other a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
When I would shit talk her to my friends,
yeah,
it was the Will Ferrell Janet Reno. That was the impression I'd do where I'd go, play that song I like. That was my impression for my mom growing up when I was being a little shitty teenager. I'd be like, hey, Dan, you didn't mow the lawn. It's like, shut up, mom. That was absolutely my impression. That's so funny you said that. Watch Eric Andre's podcast, listen to it, download the RSS feed.
Yeah.
Subscribe
to his
subscribe to his feed.
Bomb. Bombing, fucking check it out.
Check out Bombing with Eric Andre.
Radio.
Also, watch all of the Eric Andre show because
if you dare,
dude, it's the situations you did. Me and Big J used to just watch that shit and smoke weed and be flattered. Like, this is the best.
Yeah,
it was the best. I remember texting Hannibal when you put season one out. I just was like texting him, Doc Chicken.
Yeah,
and nice. He was like, okay, man. Hannibal was like, all right. But I was like, it was one of the first things that someone I knew made something that I was like, oh, I fuck with this, not because I just know them, but because awesome. I genuinely like it. And I remember that. It was
last time I did the podcast, it was with Big J.
Yeah, we had the Sirius XM show.
You guys had that show. Yeah, that's the last time I did.
Yeah. That was serious.
And Jay said like the nicest thing to me, which was, he goes, I've never seen somebody stand up translate directly into their TV show more directly than what you were doing in New York before you did the show. And I was that was like the sweetest.
But it also is like, even what you were just saying, where it felt like you go, oh, this is the avenue. I can do this here. Yeah, even from the introductions, from you fucking with the band, from Hannibal's entire character, where you filmed it in Brooklyn, how it was shot, that fucking, that public access vibe.
Yeah,
but then you're having celebrities that you're bringing on that you are making fun of sometimes and sometimes with.
Yeah.
And like the Tatiana Ali, there's moments where you go, man, this is the most Eric Andre shit. No one can Eric Andre like Eric Andre. And I think that's
flattered.
I mean that in like the highest way possible. I think that's like, as a fan of comedy, I like finding nothing more than someone hit their stride in a way that you go, this is exactly who they are. And I think that's who you are. And it's like, great. That's why I said, I'm glad you came on, because the punk rock and the PCP thing make it all make a lot more sense.
Yeah,
it just gives it a lot more legs. So check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, thanks for coming.
Cool. Thanks, man.